So, you have a new Marvel project for me?
Yes, sir, I do. I figure we can make a Marvel TV show for Disney Plus.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I was thinking we could make a show about Wanda and Vision.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw the last couple episodes of the MCU, but Vision is very dead.
I know, that's gonna be part of the intrigue.
Okay, so what's going on in this show anyway?
It's gonna be like a 1950s black and white sitcom starring Wanda and Vision, right?
Oh, what the heck are you talking about?
And they're just going about their 1950s lives, you know, dinner with the boss and those kinds of classic sitcom situations.
Are you sure you've seen the MCU before? Because this isn't remotely, that doesn't resemble anything we do at all.
No, I know.
Okay, what is happening?
So then we're going to start to see that things get a little weird sometimes, you know? Sometimes they can't remember how they got to places. There's some weird stuff showing up.
Oh, what the heck is that about? Please tell me now.
Yeah, there's like a super weird moment with the boss. There's a beekeeper that comes out of the sewer.
Okay, okay.
What's going on? You okay?
I'm not used to slow-moving intrigue, so I'm not sure what to do with myself.
Understandable, sir, but this is a weekly release schedule, right? So we're gonna spread out the reveals and really make people hate the words, please stand by.
Okay, but what's with all the weird stuff, though?
Ah, please stand by. Anyway, so there's also gonna be this nosy neighbor character, Agnes, right? And she's a little mysterious, you know? Something's going on with her.
Agnes, huh?
What are you doing?
Is she Agatha Harkness?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, great. Got it.
That's kind of supposed to be a reveal later.
Well, listen, if you give people some downtime, they're gonna theorize. That's just how it works.
I'm gonna make you pay for that.
What?
So anyway, then the show starts jumping through the decades every episode, and Wanda gives birth to twins.
Oh, very weird. I don't know what to make of all this random weirdness.
And there's this woman in there, and she seems to remember who Wanda is and that Ultron killed her brother.
Oh, okay, here we go.
And so Wanda gets mad, and she sends her outside of this big magical hex dome that's going on.
And so what's that all about?
Well, it turns out that Wanda's taken over this town called Westview with this magical hex thing, and she's broadcasting it.
Oh.
Yeah, so the S.W.O.R.D. agency, they're keeping an eye on things, you know, watching the broadcasts.
Nice, okay, things making a bit of sense now.
And there's this guy, Director Hayward, running the show. There's gonna be Darcy from Thor there. There's Jimmy Woo from Ant-Man.
Oh, Jimmy, what's going on with Jimmy?
Oh, well, he's gotten really good at that close-up magic stuff.
Oh, I didn't even know I was rooting for that outcome, but I am intensely proud of him.
So am I, sir. So him and Darcy are basically gonna behave as the audience will at home, just kind of watching WandaVision, trying to figure out what's going on.
Okay, okay.
And turns out that woman was a grown-up Monica Rambeau from Captain Marvel, and she keeps mentioning this aerospace engineer that she knows.
Aerospace engineer? Reed Richards? Fantastic Four?
Certainly seems like I'm teasing something like that, doesn't it?
It does! Oh, this is very exciting.
Yeah, you like that, huh? You big dummy.
What?
And then at the end of a certain episode, we're gonna have Pietro Maximoff show up.
Oh, but he's dead.
He is, but he's gonna come back, and I figure this time Evan Peters could play him.
But he played Quicksilver in the Fox X-Men movies.
That's right, sir, he did. Let that blow your mind for a minute.
Oh my god, what does this mean? What are the implications? Is the multiverse open? Are the X-Men on their way?
Please stand by.
What? No! Oh, please stop torturing me like this.
Please stand by.
Wow, okay, yeah, people are gonna hate those words, aren't they?
Oh, most definitely.
Hey, is he secretly Mephisto? Are the twins secretly Mephisto? Am I secretly Mephisto?
Maybe. So then eventually we're gonna reveal that that Agnes lady was actually an evil witch this whole time, and her name is Agatha Harkness.
Yeah, I figured that one out.
You did. So she's gonna have this little theme song explaining that she was evil the whole time. It's gonna be called Agatha All Along.
Oh, okay.
And it's just gonna be so frickin' so good, sir. Just the catchiest song.
Oh, okay, you think people are gonna like it? That's cool.
Oh, yes, sir. People are gonna love it. It's gonna be about how she was pulling all the evil strings all along.
Nice.
How she killed a dog.
Oh, my God.
So then Agatha's gonna be like, okay, I would like to know how you got your power, so let's go look at all your trauma for a little bit.
Very inconsiderate.
For sure. So we're gonna see her and her family back in Sokovia when she was a kid.
Okay.
And turns out she used to watch a bunch of sitcoms, and that's what inspired her grief dome of different sitcom eras.
Oh.
Her dad had all these DVDs like the Dick Van Dyke Show, Bewitched, Malcolm in the Middle.
Malcolm in the Middle with Bryan Cranston?
That's right.
Bryan Cranston from Godzilla?
That's the one.
Godzilla with Elizabeth Olsen and Aaron Taylor Johnson?
That's the... Oh, dang it.
What is that? How does that... What is that?
Right, okay, so that's an Easter egg.
Oh, okay, I got a ton of questions about the implications of that Easter egg.
Oh, actually, I'm gonna need you to get all the way off my back about the fact that Marvel actors act in other things sometimes.
Oh, okay, let me get off of that thing.
Anyway, so at the end of that episode, Agatha's gonna be like, this is chaos, man. magic, Wanda, and that makes you the Scarlet Witch.
That's the name of the character.
Yeah, we're going to make people cheer for something they already knew.
Yeah, they knew, but it hadn't been said out loud.
And we're going to say it out loud.
Oh, saying things people already know out loud is tight.
I know
you know.
Nice, okay. So then Sword is going to manage to make this white Vision and send him inside the Hex to kill Vision.
Oh boy, so they're going to fight?
They are going to fight, sir. Turns out this weird conceptual show is going to end with a big CGI battle, just like Marvel movies.
Wow, 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 wow.
Yeah, so they're going to go head to head. It's going to be very cool.
Wow, it's going to be tough for Hex Vision to defeat himself.
Actually, it's going to be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he hits him with some philosophical questions, and so White Vision is like, huh.
Oh.
Yeah, then he gives him his memories, and White Vision is like, okay, I'm Vision now. Bye.
Wait, where does he go?
Off into the MCU until we need him for something.
Okay, so this way we'll be able to kill Vision without killing Vision.
Exactly.
Oh, I love that death isn't permanent. It's just like in real life.
That's not accurate. Oh, also, Monica has powers now from going in and out of the Hex, and she uses them to stop Hayward from shooting the twins.
He was gonna shoot some children?
Well, technically, they're not real children, but yeah, Hayward's just gonna become a cartoonishly evil guy in the last episode. That's gonna be his thing.
Wow, yeah.
So then Wanda's gonna have this big showdown with Agatha, and Agatha's gonna show her that she's been a straight-up mental terrorist to the people of Westview.
Oh, that's not good.
And then they're gonna have this big battle with a bunch of different colored beams and a sky beam, just like the end of a Marvel movie.
Wow, 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 wow.
And Wanda's gonna manage to defeat Agatha by putting these big runes on the side of the Hex, which means that only she can do magic in that area.
Oh, how did she know how to do that?
Well, Agatha mentioned that while she was monologuing.
Oh, it's super helpful when villains start monologuing. Didn't The Incredibles make fun of that?
Yeah, that movie did make fun of villains doing that. Fun fact, we're gonna reference The Incredibles a couple of times.
But we're still gonna do the thing it was making fun of.
Exactly. So then Wanda gives herself some new clothes and then traps Agatha in her own mind as a nosy neighbor forever, which I'm sure is a fate worse than death.
Absolutely. That's deeply horrifying, and it gets worse the more you think about it.
It sure does, sir. And then Wanda's gonna have to say goodbye to her twins, but probably not for long, and to Vision, but probably not for long.
Very sad, but probably not for long.
And then as Wanda's walking out of Westview, all the citizens are giving her dirty looks, and Monica's gonna be like, they have no idea what you sacrificed for them.
She mentally tortured them for an extended period of time and probably scarred them for life.
Yeah, but she had to say goodbye to her imaginary friends, so it balances out.
Eh, okay.
And so, yeah, that's about it. What do you think?
Well, wait, what about Evan Peters as Quicksilver? What was that all about?
Oh, yeah, it turns out he was just a guy named Boner.
Boner?
Ralph Boner, yeah, that whole thing was a setup for a Boner joke. Yeah, that'll teach people to theorize.
What about Mephisto or Reed Richards? Does Doctor Strange have a cameo? He must have sensed all this going on. Oh, a very painful fart noise.
Yeah, so then we're gonna vaguely tease some upcoming projects and we're out.
Oh, wow, okay.
Oh, and by the way, I thought it might be fun to release that Agatha All Along song online. People are really gonna like that.
I mean, if people really respond to it, we can release it, I guess. But people aren't gonna freak out over a song where a witch kills a dog.
So, you have a new Marvel show for me?
Yes, sir, I do. It's gonna be called The Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Okay, what characters is it gonna follow?
The Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
That explains the title. Great work so far.
Yeah, and so Sam is struggling with the fact that Steve Rogers left him the shield, right? So he gives it to a museum.
Oh, okay.
And Bucky's dealing with some government-mandated therapy and hanging out with his buddy, this really old guy, Yuri Nakajima.
Oh, that's cute.
Whose son he murdered.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, he did it while he was brainwashed, and he's kind of building up the courage to tell Yuri about it as part of his recovery.
So he's like trying to get over having been the Winter Soldier.
Exactly. And so then the government names this guy John Walker as the new Captain America.
Oh, I hate this guy already.
Actually doesn't seem like such a bad guy.
Oh.
But he's such a bad guy.
Okay.
But he's not that bad eventually, kinda. But not great.
Oh, I don't know how to feel about this guy, but I'm captivated.
Anyway, so then we're gonna find out about this terrorist organization called the Flag Smashers.
And what's their deal?
Well, they want the world to go back to the way it was before everyone was snapped back, because everything's all messed up now.
Messed up how?
Well, this organization called the Global Repatriation Council are trying to get things back the way they were before the blip, because now people are living in each other's houses, there are refugees, it's a mess.
And so what's their plan?
Oh, well, about 20 of them have taken super soldier serum, and their plan is to get out there and go get it done.
What?
They're gonna head out there, get it all taken care of.
I don't get what?
Listen, sir, they have a vague plan, probably. I'm gonna need you to get all the way off my back about what it is exactly.
Oh, okay, let me get off of that thing.
Anyway, so their leader's this surprisingly young lady, Carly Morgenthau, and she wears a mask and she's like mean, but you kinda get where she's coming from. It's just that her methods are questionable.
Oh, sounds a lot like that Enfys Nest character from Solo, A Star Wars Story.
Oh yeah, I guess it does. Well, we'll make sure to make it different enough.
Okay, good. Who should we get to play her?
How about that Enfys Nest actress from Solo, A Star Wars Story?
Oh yeah, she's great. Good call. Great. So what's her deal? Why does everybody look up to her?
Well, because she keeps saying things like, our movement is strong.
Okay.
It's time to make ourselves heard.
All right. Is she like super charismatic or something?
No, she just quietly says vague things and everyone's really into that apparently.
Well, okay then. So what else is going on in the show?
Oh, well, we're going to tackle some really important topics like racism in America.
Oh, we are.
Yeah, we're going to have this whole storyline with this old African-American super soldier, Isaiah Bradley, that the government did tests on. Really heavy stuff.
Wow, yeah, important stuff to tackle for sure.
Yeah, also Baron Zemo's gonna do a little dance.
What?
Well, we gotta balance out some of the heavier stuff with some lighter stuff, so Baron Zemo's gonna hit the dance floor.
Okay, what's Zemo doing in the show anyway?
Well, Bucky and Sam realize they need his help, so they break him out of jail, and he's much sassier now.
Well, great.
Yeah, so they head to this city called Madripoor, because they want to find out where the super soldier serum's being made.
Right.
And while they're there, they're gonna meet Sharon Carter.
She's from the movies.
She is, and there's this mysterious person in Madripoor called the Power Broker, and we don't know who it is.
Is it Mephisto?
What? No.
Sorry, I'm still a little riled up from the WandaVision pitch.
No, this Power Broker person seems to be a very influential person in Madripoor. They're pulling a bunch of strings, they have crazy access to stuff.
Okay.
Anyway, so Sharon Carter seems to be a pretty influential person in Madripoor. She's pulling a bunch of strings, she has crazy access to stuff.
Oh, so Sharon is the Power Broker.
What? No.
Yeah, I feel like with the clues you've laid out, though.
It's not.
Mm-mm, nobody knows who the Power Broker is.
I feel like it's pretty obviously her, though.
Also, Zemo's gonna put on his purple mask from the comics.
Oh, why does he put that on?
Because it's gonna look good in the trailers.
Can't argue with that.
And so the Flag Smashers, they start doing really intense stuff, like they bomb this GRC headquarters place, kill a bunch of innocent people.
Oh.
Carly straight up calls Sam's sister and threatens his nephews.
So she's like full on evil.
No, actually, we're gonna act like she's misunderstood.
I don't know, seems pretty intense.
Yeah, we're gonna act like she's misunderstood.
If you say so.
So eventually, her and the Flag Smashers are gonna fight against Walker and his partner Lamar, and we're gonna see that Walker's taken some super soldier serum.
Oh, he has.
Yeah, and one of Carly's people is holding Walker because their plan is to stab him to death because he's a symbol, but then Carly accidentally kills Lamar.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so then Walker runs over to Lamar, and the Flag Smashers, they all run away.
Well, why don't they finish the job and kill Walker like they were trying to do?
Well, because this part of the scene is over, so they scatter.
Oh, okay.
And then Walker gets all mad and he kills that guy that was holding him so Carly could stab his heart.
Okay, seems pretty reasonable.
It's not actually, because the bad guy was down and a bunch of people were watching.
Right, yeah, no, killing is bad, but Bucky and Sam have killed bad guys too, right?
Oh no, they do for sure,
but this guy was down and he was like, please don't kill me, so it's different.
Maybe some of the people Bucky and Sam killed would have said that too if they hadn't died so quickly.
I guess we'll never know.
Because they died, yeah. So then Walker gets fired as Captain America and he starts to make his own shield.
Oh, I bet that's gonna come into play later.
Yeah, no, not really though. It gets smashed immediately when he starts fighting with it.
Right, that wasn't vibranium. I guess that makes sense.
It's just kind of a metal circle, really, but we're gonna hype it up in a post-credit scene.
Sure, why not?
So Sam is gonna start training with the real shield, you know, how to lodge it into things, how to make it bounce and come back.
Yeah, how does the shield work exactly?
Well, it works however I need it to in whatever action bit I'm writing.
Okay, great, that makes sense.
So anyway, by the finale, the Flag Smashers are gonna have a pretty clear objective.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, they're gonna kidnap a bunch of GRC senators so they can't pass a resettlement vote.
And so Carly sets a truck of hostages on fire.
Okay, so we're done trying to paint her in a sympathetic light, right?
No, we're still trying.
Okay.
And get this, we're gonna find out that Sharon is the Power Broker.
Right, yeah, I figured that out.
No, you didn't.
Who else would it have...
This is a big twist that I wrote.
Okay.
So then Sam is gonna show up, and he has this new Captain America flight suit that the Wakandans made for him.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, this thing's great.
He's fully protected, except the top of his head where his brain is.
Oh, protecting everything except your brain cage is tight.
And so Sam's gonna have to save a helicopter full of hostages.
Oh man, it's gonna be tough for him to take out the pilot and make sure the chopper doesn't crash.
Actually, it's going to be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
it turns out one of the kidnapped senators on board that very helicopter knows how to fly the helicopter, so she takes over.
Oh, hey, yeah, that worked out great.
It sure did.
And so eventually, Carly's going to be trying really hard to kill Sam because she's a sympathetic character, and then Sharon's going to shoot her dead, so it's very sad.
Is it?
And then Sam's going to carry her body because it's definitely a sad moment, and then he's going to talk to some senators.
Oh, he is?
Yeah,
he's going to be like, stop calling the Flag Smashers terrorists.
Well, I mean, they literally used violence and intimidation against civilians in pursuit of political aims, which is, you know, the definition of terrorism.
Well, Sam's gonna tell them to not say that, and then he's gonna keep lecturing them for 4 to 5 minutes.
Okay.
And one of the senators is gonna be like, okay, but logistically, what are we supposed to do here? And Sam's gonna be like, do better, senator.
Oh, you know, that does sound like it's gonna help a lot.
It is.
Wow, 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 wow.
And so then Sam's gonna make sure that Isaiah's story gets told.
Nice.
And then Bucky's gonna go talk to Yuri and tell him what he did to his son.
Oh, it's gonna be nice to see how that plays out.
Then we cut away.
Oh.
Yeah, we get out of there fast.
Kinda wish you let that moment breathe.
Nope, I'm already gone before we even get to see the moment I've been building up to all season.
Okay.
And then during the end credits, we're gonna have the title card say Captain America and the Winter Soldier, so that's gonna be a nice moment for Sam, you know?
Hasn't Bucky's whole arc been about not being the Winter Soldier anymore?
Yeah, I guess I could have changed his title too, huh? Whoops.
Whoopsie.
So what do you think?
Well, it sounds great. I'm just not sure about that Baron Zemo dancing thing. That seems like a weird thing to include.
Well, I keep seeing this gif of Thanos twerking online, so I feel like the internet's really gonna like it.
Okay, I mean, we can include a second of it, and if people want more, we could release that online.
So, you have a Loki TV show for me?
Yes, sir, I do.
So we're gonna pick up right from that scene in Avengers Endgame, right? Where Loki grabs the Tesseract during the Battle of New York.
Okay.
And so he's gonna get picked up by something called the Time Variance Authority, because he messed with something called the Sacred Timeline, so they have to prune this new timeline branch he made.
Well, what about all that time travel the Avengers did?
Yeah, well, see, the TVA says that was supposed to happen, but Loki grabbing the Tesseract, that wasn't.
Okay, but some of the time travel they did was because Loki grabbed the Tesseract.
Yeah, well, don't worry about that.
Okay, I won't.
So they bring Loki to the TVA headquarters, and a robot starts to take his clothes off with some claws.
What?
But then that doesn't work, so the robot just kind of zaps his clothes off.
What are you talking about?
Well, sir, if Loki's gonna be the star of a Marvel show, we're gonna have to see him shirtless. That's how this works.
Right, of course, that makes sense.
And so then this lady, Ravonna Renslayer, wants to kill him, because he's a bad variant.
All right.
But then this guy, Mobius, pops in and stops her, and by the way, I was thinking we could get Owen Wilson to play this guy.
Oh, people love Owen Wilson.
Yeah, they do.
Wow, wow, wow.
Wow.
And this guy's also really into jet skis.
Ah, I now have a deep desire to see Owen Wilson on a jet ski that I didn't have just a few seconds ago.
I know you do. That's the main hook of the show now.
Oh, picturing Owen Wilson on a jet ski is tight.
So Mobius is gonna show Loki a video of how his life plays out after the Battle of New York. Getting his mom killed, getting close to Thor, getting killed by Thanos.
Okay.
And so watching this video is gonna completely change Loki into a sympathetic character that can lead his own TV show.
He just killed Phil Coulson.
Yeah, but he watched a video, so he's pretty much a good guy now.
Oh, okay, you're speedrunning this character development.
Yeah, just kind of get it out of the way with a nice little video, which somehow has the same cinematography as the movies did.
Well, okay then.
And so anyway, the reason that Mobius wants Loki's help is because he's chasing this other variant that keeps killing TVA agents, and it's another variant of Loki.
Oh.
Yeah, and so then Loki figures out that this other version of him is hiding in Apocalypses, because you could do anything there and it won't affect stuff, because those timelines are ending anyway.
I guess that makes sense.
It does.
See, Loki and Mobius head to Pompeii, and Loki starts interacting with people right before Mount Vesuvius erupts.
Okay, but wouldn't that lead to some of those people dying in different positions than they would have, which would then affect the days of the people that discovered the bodies and create some kind of butterfly effect?
No.
Oh, okay.
So eventually they go to the supermarket in the future, and Loki discovers that the other Loki is a woman, and she goes by Sylvie.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and so this is her show now.
What?
Yeah, this is really Sylvie's story. She was pruned at a young age and managed to escape, and she's been building up this attack against the TVA for all these years, and Loki's just kind of along for the ride.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And so Sylvie sends a bunch of these things called reset charges into the TVA to distract them, right? And she wants to kill these beings called the Timekeepers.
members who apparently run the show.
Very exciting.
But then they get attacked, so Loki uses this thing called a tempad to teleport them onto a planet called Lamentus that's about to be destroyed.
Smart.
No, not smart, because Sylvie's like, that plan at the TVA, that was years in the making. Years. And you just ruined it.
So why doesn't she just use the tempad to go back and finish the job?
Well, no, now it's out of power.
The plan was years in the making, but she didn't charge the tempad? That's what we're going with.
So then they're gonna talk and talk for like 30 minutes straight, because that's kind of the deal with these episodes.
Oh, it is. Oh yeah, a whole lot of talking.
So then they find this big escape ship they have to get onto, and Loki's gonna be like, oh my god, they're gonna leave all these people to die.
I mean, what does he care? He just killed a bunch of people in New York.
Sir, he watched a video. He cares about this stuff now.
Right, sorry, I forgot.
So this city starts getting destroyed, and Loki's gonna stop a building from falling with his mind.
Oh wow, I didn't realize he could do that.
That's because his power level changes from scene to scene, depending on what I want to happen.
Oh, neat.
Anyway, then the escape ship explodes, so their one way out is destroyed.
Well, it's gonna be hard to get out of there now.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
You see, the power of their newfound love creates a new timeline branch, so the TVA comes and picks them up.
Okay, I thought the whole thing about apocalypses was that anything can happen and it wouldn't change anything. Why does them falling in love affect things?
Because it does, so they're in love now.
Oh my god, can you imagine falling in love with yourself?
I can.
Ugh. Sorry, I'm not interested.
Oh, no, I mean, I can imagine it, obviously, since I wrote it. Also, we're not the same person. I have glasses.
Right, of course.
Anyway, so Sylvie's also gonna reveal that the TVA agents are actually just variants that used to be real people.
Oh.
And then eventually they find out that the timekeepers aren't even real, and Mobius and Loki are both gonna get pruned.
Oh my god, Loki dies?
Well, no, because see, we're gonna learn that pruning someone just sends them to the void at the end of time, where a big smoke monster called Elias is then gonna kill them.
Okay, why doesn't the TVA just straight up kill people then? Why the extra steps?
Well, because the fans are gonna expect a scene where we watch Loki die only to find out he's not really dead.
That's a good point.
So Loki ends up in this void place where there are different kinds of Loki variants. Like, there's an old Loki, there's an alligator Loki.
Okay, does that mean in one timeline Odin adopted an alligator, or that they were all alligators in that timeline?
Doesn't matter. What does matter is that we have an alligator Loki now.
Fair enough, so what's the alligator gonna do?
Eat someone's hand.
That makes a lot of sense.
So meanwhile, Ravonna explains to Sylvie the whole thing about how pruning sends you to a void, and she also says there's a ship that can bring you there.
Okay.
But see, Sylvie is smart, and she realizes that she's just stalling for time so agents can get there, and there is no ship.
So what does she do?
Well, she prunes herself so she can go to the void too.
If she decided that Ravonna was lying about the ship, why did she think she was telling the truth about the void and the pruning?
I don't know, but luckily she was telling the truth about that one part, so it works out great.
Well, fantastic.
So then Sylvie's about to be killed by this smoke monster, and Mobius shows up in a pizza car and saves her.
How do you know where she was?
Unclear, but then they go join Loki, who's been dealing with, like, a bunch of Lokis.
Very fun.
And then Sylvie's gonna realize that she can use her enchantment powers on this beast. She's been using them on people all season, kinda like a mind control thing.
Literally nobody in the history of time who's ever been pruned has had powers like that.
That's what we're going with.
Well, okay then.
And Mobius is gonna go back to the TVA using a tempad, and Ravonna's gonna overpower him and escape through a doorway thing.
Where's she going?
Into season two, presumably.
Oh, okay.
So then we're gonna meet this guy called He Who Remains, who's kind of Kang the Conqueror, only we don't know he's kind of Kang the Conqueror yet, only we do, because we're obviously gonna announce the casting.
Oh boy, so what's he gonna do?
Oh, well, he's gonna talk.
Oh.
Yeah, he's gonna talk for like 45 minutes. He's gonna explain everything. It's gonna be like that architect scene from The Matrix.
Wow.
Talk, 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 talk. And sometimes Loki and Sylvie are gonna be like, why? Or what does that mean? And that'll set up the next rounds of talking.
A very talky finale.
And so essentially this guy is like, you can kill me, which will create like a multiverse and a huge war, or you can take over and protect the sacred timeline.
So what happens?
Well, Sylvie does kill him, and then the multiverse branches out into like crazy timelines, and he's like, see you soon.
Oh boy, that's massive.
It's a massive deal. This multiverse is gonna shape the whole phase of the MCU.
This is gonna be such an insane twist. Nobody's gonna see this coming.
Yeah, as long as we don't spoil that this is gonna happen in some way.
Oh yeah, well, we might do that now that you mention it.
What? How?
So, you have a movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do. I was thinking we could do a Black Widow movie.
Oh.
Did you not see Avengers Endgame? I have terrible news.
No, I did see that movie, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, see, I figure we could set the movie a couple of years in the past, you know, when it would have made more sense to make it.
Oh yeah, why did we wait so long to do this?
Well, remember that whole leaked email situation with the old Marvel Studios head Ike Perlmutter, where he was like, female-led superhero movies don't make money, and he listed a bunch of examples?
Nope, stop.
But then Wonder Woman was a success, so I was asked to take a look at our female character roster again.
Stop talking.
Oh, sorry, are we not saying that out loud?
We're gonna take that again, okay? Why did it take us so long to do this?
I don't know.
Oh, fair enough. Better late than never, I guess.
Yeah.
So tell me about the movie.
Well, I figure we could get more grounded with the Black Widow movie, you know?
Ah, we're gonna do a more grounded movie about the lady who jumped off a cliff on planet Vormir after a red-faced war criminal who's now a space ghost explained that that was the only way to get her hands on the magic rock she wanted before a muscle-bound purple alien got it and completed his power glove.
Yes.
I love it.
Well, great. So I figure we could have this whole big marketing campaign where ScarJo is like, you think you know Black Widow? Think again.
So we're gonna learn a bunch of new stuff about her?
Like, how does she get that vest that she wears in Infinity War?
Oh, people love retroactively learning how characters they know got certain pieces of clothing we've seen them wear.
Oh, I certainly hope they do, sir, because we've been really leaning into that for the past 5 years or so.
We have, yeah.
We're also gonna shed some new light on the character. Like, for example, did you know she went on a little adventure between Civil War and Infinity War?
Oh, neat.
Yeah, so it turns out when Natasha was a kid, she had like a fake family in Ohio, but they were actually Russian operatives living undercover.
Okay.
And then we're gonna jump forward in time, and Natasha's on the run from General Ross because of the Sokovia Accords.
He's from some of the other movies.
He is. It's all connected.
Wow.
So she heads to the safe house in Norway and unknowingly picks up a little box of vials of antidote.
An antidote?
Yeah, see, it turns out her fake sister Yelena was also a widow operative being chemically controlled by this place called the Red Room, right?
Right.
And she ended up coming in contact with this stuff called the Red Dust, which freed her from her mind control agent.
Ah, gotcha.
So Natasha's unknowingly driving with this stuff, and suddenly a massive explosive hits her car and flips it a bunch of times.
Oh my god, is she okay?
Yeah, I mean, she's a superhero, right?
Yeah, but that sounds like something that would probably kill a non-superpowered being, and Natasha doesn't have superpowers.
Whoopsie. Okay, so to be honest, now that I think of it, there are several scenes in this movie where, as a non-superpowered individual, she should definitely be killed, but she's not gonna.
It would be better story-wise if she didn't die.
Yeah, because we already know when she dies anyway, so then she's gonna get attacked by this villain called Taskmaster.
Oh, people love that character. Very cool mimicking capabilities, entertaining personality.
Yeah, so I figure we could do like a Deadpool kind of thing.
Yeah, bring a character that people love to the big screen in an enjoyable way, sure.
No, I meant like a Deadpool in X-Men Origins Wolverine kind of thing.
Oh, turn the character into a mind-controlled killing machine with no speaking lines or personality traits. Yeah, that works too.
Great. So then what happens?
Well, Natasha escapes with the vials and goes to see her fake sister, and they start fighting when they see each other.
Why?
Because it's been a couple of minutes since the last action scene.
Gotcha.
And so Natasha finds out that this bad Russian guy, Dracov, who she thought she killed years ago, is actually still alive and still running the Red Room.
Okay.
And by the way, I was thinking we could get Ray Winstone to play him.
Oh, he's great. Can he do a Russian accent?
Doesn't matter.
It matters a little.
Nope. So then they realize they need to break their fake father, Alexei, out of jail, because he probably knows where the Red Room is.
All right.
So then these guards fire hundreds of bullets at Yelena, who's in a helicopter, and Natasha jumps down to help her dad.
Very exciting.
So then they all manage to fly away, just as an avalanche is just destroying the prison.
Well, thank God the hundreds of bullets didn't affect the helicopter in any way.
Yeah, it worked out great.
So I guess a bunch of people are probably killed in that avalanche, huh? Were they all bad guys?
Yeah.
You sure? I'm sure some of those guards were just people working there to try to feed their families.
Sir, we're on to the next scene, so don't worry about that.
Oh, okay.
So it turns out Alexei doesn't actually know where the Red Room is, so they have to go see their fake mother, Melina.
Okay, sure.
And it turns out she's still working for the Red Room, but then her and Natasha have a heart-to-heart, and that seems to change everything for her.
So what do they do?
Well, they secretly use those face mask things to swap appearances.
Well, why do they switch appearances?
Well, because this way Natasha can get close to Dracov.
Does that work?
Now, he sees right through the disguise and pulls the mask off pretty much immediately.
Right, so why do they swap faces?
Well, because Melina's the one who designed the cells in the Red Room, so she's able to open them up.
Do you think maybe it might have been easier to just explain to Natasha how to open the cell instead of having her impersonate a woman she hasn't seen in several decades?
Maybe, but so now Natasha has to go up against Dracov and Taskmaster, who we're gonna reveal is Dracov's daughter.
Oh. Okay.
No, see, this is kind of a big deal, because Natasha always assumes she killed her when she was a little girl as kind of intentional collateral damage when killing Dracov.
Natasha intentionally killed a child?
Yeah, well, the child didn't really die, so morally, we're all good.
Well.
So then we're gonna flash back to Melina explaining to Natasha that you can't actually hurt Dracov.
Why?
Because he implemented a pheromone blocker in all the widows, so if you can smell him, you can't hurt him.
What?
It's basic science, sir. If you can smell him, you can't fire a gun at him.
Is that basic science?
It is, yeah, because that's why I wrote that in here.
So Natasha has to hold her breath?
No, because see, Melina explains that's not enough. You gotta sever a nerve right here.
Couldn't she just kind of stand on the other side of the room far away from him, fire a gun from there?
Nope.
But probably, though?
Pheromones.
Oh, very far-reaching pheromones, so it's gonna be tough for her to hurt him, huh?
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
You see, she smashes her face on a table, and that severs the nerve.
Oh, surgical head smashing is tight.
But so then Dracov manages to bring in all the brainwashed widows, and they start attacking Natasha.
Oh, no.
But then Yelena uses the antidote on all of them, and all their free will comes back.
Oh, very nice of her.
And Melina blows up a main engine of the Red Room sky base, so the whole thing starts to fall.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and then Yelena blows up the plane that Dracov was trying to escape on.
And she was able to do that despite the pheromones?
Sure, and so then Black Widow dives after her as she plummets towards Earth, but Taskmaster starts attacking again.
And not one piece of the massive, actively crumbling sky base lands on them.
That's what we're going with. So then they land, but Natasha manages to use the antidote on Taskmaster, and so everything's great now.
So nobody died in the massive collapse?
Yeah, just every single one of the bad characters and not a single one of the good or redeemed characters.
Oh, well, great.
So then instead of escaping with her family, Natasha decides to stay behind and be captured by General Ross.
Oh, yeah, she can't go with her family. She's got to be in a couple of other movies.
So then 2 weeks later, she meets up with her friend who got her a Quinjet.
Wait, wasn't she just captured by Ross? What happened there?
I don't know.
Oh, fair enough.
And then during the credits, we're gonna have this scene where Yelena is at Natasha's grave and this character, Contessa Valentina, shows up with a mission for her.
What's the mission?
Sign up for Disney Plus.
Very exciting.
Yeah, it's gonna be very exciting. People are gonna be like, who is this character? It's gonna be this big reveal.
Oh, that's gonna be a big reveal. Really add a lot to the end credits, unless we decide to reveal it in a streaming show first.
What?
So, you have a new Marvel movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do. And I figured this could be our first foray into the world of martial arts, you know, other than that Iron Fist show we did.
That never happened.
No, it did. I remember with that guy from Game of Thrones?
No, we never did that. So what's the movie?
Well, sir, I figure we could do a movie about Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Bracelets.
Isn't it Ten Rings?
Yeah, but I thought it could look cool if they were worn around the wrists, you know, and I think at a certain point a ring becomes a bracelet, scientifically speaking.
No, I think at a certain point a bracelet becomes a ring, but then if a ring expands, it's always a ring.
That sounds like it makes sense. Okay, Ten Rings it is.
Amazing. So what happens in the movie?
Well, we're gonna meet Shang-Chi, right? But he calls himself Sean, and he lives in San Francisco.
Okay.
And he's friends with this girl named Katie, and they work as valets together.
How do we know they're best friends?
Because one of her first lines is, we've been friends for 10 years.
Oh, best friends love stating how long you've been best friends with them.
Yeah, they do.
So they're in love, I imagine? I mean, one's a boy and one's a girl.
No, they're just friends.
Okay,
so anyway, one day they're taking the bus together and Shang-Chi gets attacked by a bunch of assassins.
Oh no.
Yeah, so he's gonna suddenly reveal that he's like an insanely good martial artist and he's gonna have this incredible fight scene with them on this bus.
Yeah, he's fighting some bad guys on a bus.
Yeah, they're like doing martial arts and he's using the environment, you know, he uses his jacket at a certain point.
Oh, a relatively grounded, well-choreographed fight scene? That's actually refreshing.
And the bus's brakes get cut and Katie has to drive the bus and Shang-Chi dives and the bus gets cut in half.
Oh, there's the Marvel over the topness. Okay, gotcha.
So Katie's like, hey, what's up with you secretly being a martial arts master? And he's like, yeah, I'm secretly a martial arts master, and I gotta go see my sister now.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, see, he got this postcard that he thinks is from her, so he needs to fly to China because he thinks she's in danger too.
Gotcha.
So he's like, bye, Katie, I gotta go. And Katie's like, no, I'm coming with you.
Oh, best friends love coming on dangerous adventures with you off of little to no information.
Yeah, they do.
So wait, why is Katie going?
So we can have
have some comic relief around that people can explain things to.
Oh, very helpful.
Yeah.
And so what happens when they get there?
Well, we're gonna meet Shang-Chi's sister, Shaolin.
And what's her deal?
Well, after their mom died, their father, Wen Wu, put Shang-Chi through torturous, brutal training for years, right?
That's terrible.
Yeah, but she wasn't allowed to train with the men, so, you know, it was pretty unfair to her.
Yeah, I mean, what a jerk of a father. How come she doesn't get the brutal torture? Oh, wait, I don't know how I feel about this morally.
So since she couldn't train with them, she watched them and taught herself how to be even better than them.
But how could she learn, like, the grabbing moves and stuff? Wouldn't she need people to practice with?
No, not even.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, it turns out that Shang-Chi receiving a postcard was actually a setup by his father, and he has them both captured.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so they head to his place because he wanted to basically reunite the family, and he thinks he knows how to bring their mom back from the dead using these pendants and a map and stuff.
Wait, so why did he send assassins after them?
Hey, well, he says he knew they wouldn't be able to kill his children.
So then why try?
So we can have some fight scenes in the movie.
That's a good point. So what's this guy's deal anyway?
Well, he's 4,000 years old.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and he has these 10 rings and he leads a group called the 10 Rings.
So what do these rings do exactly?
Oh, all kinds of stuff, sir. They make you immortal. Also other things involving energy or something.
Oh, that's pretty vague, man.
Yeah, this way they can do whatever I want them to do from scene to scene.
Smart.
And so he's actually the real Mandarin, and that Trevor Slattery guy from Iron Man 3, that was his doing.
Oh man, I love that we can retroactively make our unpopular decisions seem calculated and deliberate and important.
It is pretty sweet that we can do that, sir.
And so what are we saying the Ten Rings organization does exactly?
Oh, they've been doing stuff for thousands of years, so immense you can't possibly fathom it, but also vague enough that you probably wouldn't have heard of it.
Gotcha. God, how many underground organizations that secretly control everything are there in the MCU at this point?
Thousands.
Wow, yeah. Maybe we should find a new thing.
No.
Okay.
Anyway, so Wen Wu explains that he's been getting these messages from their mother from the grave, and Shang-Chi's like, Dad, she's gone. You sound crazy.
He doesn't believe that his father may have stumbled upon something crazy like that.
No, sir. He's like, there's no way. You sound insane, Papa.
He doesn't think that his 4,000-year-old immortal father could have possibly stumbled upon something in this vein.
Doesn't even entertain the idea, and he's right.
Oh, okay, great.
So anyway, all the good characters get put in a cell because they don't want to cooperate.
Oh man, it's gonna be hard to get out of there.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, see, Shaolin had already escaped from there and they're left unguarded, and Trevor Slattery is down there and he can help them escape.
Oh wow, that is convenient.
It is, and Trevor has this little furry mythical creature friend that makes little squeaking noises that only he can understand.
How?
Unclear.
Okay, that's kind of weird, but I guess it could be fun if it's just a couple of, you know, playful semi-understanding back and forth.
The creature's gonna give precise driving directions that are crucial to the plot.
Oh, it is. Okay.
You see, they need to go to this place called Tallow, where their mom is from, but they need to drive through a mythical forest to get there.
In a beautiful BMW.
Okay, seems like you're probably getting a lot of money to specify that. So they get to this place and they find out that Wen Wu's plan is actually really, really bad.
Oh, it is?
You see, this big friggin' soul-sucking demon called Dweller in Darkness is pretending to be their mom to trick Wen Wu into releasing him.
Oh, soul-sucking demons are tight.
What? No, they're not.
You're right, I don't know what possessed me to say that.
Anyway, so then Katie's gonna do a couple of hours of archery.
Oh, that's nice, just for fun or for the story?
It's so she can have something to do in the third act.
Okay, got it. Gotcha.
Yeah, everything's been pretty much explained now, so at this point in a story, this kind of character either dies or picks up a new skill for the third act.
That makes sense.
So then there's gonna be this big fight between the people of Tallow and the Ten Rings.
With color-coordinated weaponry.
Of course, blue versus red.
Fantastic.
And meanwhile, Wen Wu's gonna start punching this wall to try to release his dead wife, but he's actually releasing these tiny little soul-sucking demons.
Oh no.
Yeah, so then all the human characters need to join forces and fight.
An army of soulless CGI enemies that the characters can violently kill without the audience feeling weird about it.
Exactly.
Wow.
And then Shang-Chi has to fight his father.
Oh, wow, a grounded fight with very personal stakes? That's actually a nice change of...
And they shoot colored energy blasts at each other, and a giant demon pops out, and a giant dragon pops out and fights it too.
Oh, there's the Marvel over-the-topness. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, and so Wen Wu dies, and then the next 10 minutes are gonna be just whatever the computer is able to render.
Oh, they can render a whole visual mess of craziness.
Can it be super colorful, but also somehow entirely gray?
You know it.
Amazing. And so then Shang-Chi manages manages to kill the demon with the 10 rings and save the day. So what are the 10 rings exactly? Do we find out?
Oh, stay tuned.
Oh? Yeah, we're gonna have a post-credit scene where it's like, oh, these are probably made out of something that's gonna be important eventually. Stay tuned.
Nice. No better way to end a Marvel movie than with a commercial for future projects, and that should about do it, actually.
What is that?
It's just the Marvel movie checklist.
There's a checklist?
Of course there's a checklist, and you've done great, my friend. Big messy CGI battle in the third act, secret evil organization, color-coded energy blasts. We got cameos from other Marvel movies. Trevor Slattery, Wong, and Abomination.
Does the main character remove his shirt to reveal a six-pack at a certain point?
He does, yeah. Great physique.
Well, fantastic. If we could just add a tease that another Marvel character is off doing something important, that'd be great, too.
On it. So, you have a new superhero movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do. And it's a team of superheroes, right?
Oh, boy.
We're docking a speedster, a lady with ancient weapons, a super strong guy that flies and shoots beams from his eyes.
Yeah, then there's Batman and Aquaman. You're not in the right offices, my dude.
Oh, no, I'm talking about the Eternals.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Okay, great. So, who are the main characters in this thing?
Oh, we've got some great main characters. We've got Circe and Icarus.
Okay, good, good, good.
And Thena. And Gilgamesh.
Oh, couple more. Okay.
And also Kingo and Makari.
You're still going.
And that's it for the characters, other than Sprite and Druig.
Ah, okay. All right.
So those are the Eternals, also Ajak and Phastos.
Okay, and you have enough time to introduce and develop all these characters?
Maybe.
Sounds like maybe this should be a Disney Plus series, you know? Give this all a bit more breathing room.
Yeah, we could shove them into a single movie. It's fine.
Well, okay then. So what's the deal with these characters?
Oh, well, they've been around for thousands of years doing stuff like standing in a line and staring in the same direction dramatically.
Nice.
Having philosophical conversations, but only at golden hour.
Why even talk at any other time of day?
There's no point. And also, some of these characters are in love with each other.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, like when Icarus first wakes up, he sees this other Eternal and he's smitten. So he's like, hi, I'm Icarus. And she's like, I'm sassy.
Oh, being sassy is tight.
Oh, no, sorry. Her name is Circe. She just has a British accent.
I still stand by what I said.
Fair enough. So these Eternals were sent by a celestial to protect humans, right?
Okay, so then why didn't they help out when Thanos attacked?
Ah, well see, they were instructed to only fight these deviant monsters and to not interfere in human affairs.
Oh. Okay.
And, you know, also they introduce technology to humans, which humans then use to kill each other.
Okay, that feels like getting involved in human conflict.
Somehow that doesn't count.
Oh, okay, and so you said they all have powers?
They do, yeah. One of them has super strength, one of them can make illusions and is a child, and another one could do mind control, which obviously he's not allowed to use.
And these Eternals were created by Celestials to go fight Deviants.
That's right.
And why not give them each all the powers?
Unclear. So anyway, they wiped out all these Deviants like 500 years ago. And then they kind of split up.
Okay.
But then Deviants start popping up again and Ajak gets killed.
Oh, she's one of the characters, I think. I'm almost sure of it.
That's right. Yeah, we'll learn a little more about her later, but for now, just be sad about that, okay?
I'll try, but I don't really know who that is, to be honest.
So now that the Deviants are back and an Eternal is dead, they gotta get the band back together.
Oh boy.
And so, you know, there are so many characters that pretty much takes up the whole movie.
Oh, it does. Okay.
Yeah, like they go pick up Kingo, who's now a Bollywood star, so that's fun.
That's fun.
Oh, yeah. And side note, I already have Kumail Nanjiani interested in playing the role.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, he's super motivated. He said he's gonna work out for like a year to get in Marvel shape, you know, like crazy ripped and muscular.
Oh, you know what'd be funny? If we have him do all that work and then we don't even give him one of those classic Marvel shirtless scenes.
Oh, that's a hilarious prank. Okay, let's do that.
A very good prank. So then what happens?
Well, we're also gonna find out the real reason they were all sent to Earth to stop Deviants from killing humans.
And why is that?
Well, see, once the Earth reaches the necessary population, a Celestial can be born from the Earth's core, and everyone on the planet will die.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's pretty serious, and the Eternals have unknowingly been doing this a lot, but every time a Celestial is born, they get their memories wiped.
Okay, so if that's how new Celestials are born, it definitely feels like it would have been in their interest to get involved in the Thanos situation of wiping out half of all population.
Maybe, but see, the thing is, we already didn't introduce the Eternals into the Avengers movies, so I'm gonna need you to get all the way off my back about this.
Oh yeah, okay, let me get off of that thing.
Oh, I should also mention that there's this one deviant monster that's like evolving and growing intelligence every time he kills an Eternal.
Oh boy, I bet that's gonna come into play later.
Not particularly, no.
Oh.
Yeah, he's like, oh man, I guess we're all just pawns of Celestials, huh? And then he's gonna show up in the final fight and just kinda get killed.
Feels like an interesting concept to flesh
flesh out more.
Well, there's no time.
You know we're doing like 8-hour Disney Plus Marvel shows now. You can't explore this stuff.
No. Take all these fascinating ideas and characters and shove them into a single movie and then just kind of speed run through them.
Well, okay then. So what does happen in the final fight?
Oh, well, see, we're gonna find out that Icarus is actually cool with the plan of the Celestials. He's okay with everybody dying.
Oh.
And he's the one who killed Ajax by pushing her into a pile of deviants.
Very rude.
And so Sprite, who's secretly in love with him, she follows him, and then Kingo is like, I don't even want to be in the third act, so he leaves.
I mean, up to him, I guess. So how does the movie end?
Well, the Eternals need to stop this giant, massive Celestial that's actively emerging from the Earth's core.
Sounds like it's gonna be hard to do that.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yes, it turns out they can amplify one of the Eternals' powers, so Cersei just turns this thing to, like, marble.
And a giant being emerging from the core of the Earth that doesn't have any effect on the Earth, you know, like, planet-wise?
No.
Oh, okay, great.
And then Cersei's like, hey, Sprite, I think I still have some power left from whatever that was, so I can turn you into a human since you hate being a child.
And that's a thing she knows how to do?
Sure, yeah, okay.
Wow, well, I guess they're pretty good friends, huh?
Yeah, except for Sprite literally stabbing her in the back just a few minutes earlier.
Oh, my God.
And then Icarus feels super guilty, so he flies into the sun.
Well, I mean, if you're gonna have a character named Icarus, gotta fly that guy into the sun for sure.
Yeah, our hands are kinda tight on that one for sure. And then a big Celestial shows up and kidnaps some of the Eternals.
Oh, wow, what happens with that?
Hopefully this movie does well so we can expand on that.
Oh, that's how the movie ends?
It is, yeah. Well, I mean, we're gonna have our obligatory mid-credit scene.
I mean, yeah, we gotta do that. That's tradition, you know? Remember when it was just Nick Fury walking around recruiting people into the Avengers?
Yeah, simpler times. That is not where we're at anymore.
Why, what happens in this one?
An alcoholic troll pops out of a space portal and introduces one of the guys from One Direction.
I mean, yeah, okay, that may as well happen, sure.
So what do you think?
Well, it sounds like it could be a fantastic series.
This is a movie.
I said what I said.
But anyway, no matter what we do, people are gonna love it. I mean, this is the MCU we're talking about.
Very true.
So, you have a new Marvel series for me?
Yes, sir, I do. I was thinking we could do one about Hawkeye.
Oh, yeah, that sounds good to me. Which one were you thinking? Thor?
Hawkeye.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's subjective, right? Because they all kind of are.
Clint Barton, Jeremy Renner, that's the one Hawkeye.
Oh, I thought you were saying hot guy. Okay, this meeting makes a lot more sense now.
Okay, great.
Wow, well, it's gonna be cool to finally see him as the lead in a project.
Yeah, you know it, sir. Well, one of them, you know. Definitely top two.
Oh.
Yeah, because technically another main character other than Hawkeye is gonna get more screen time than Hawkeye in the Hawkeye show.
That's right.
Well, okay then. So who's this other character?
Well, her name's Kate Bishop, and when she was young, she saw Hawkeye jump off a building, so she was like, wow, I want to do that.
Oh, God, that is super dark.
No, like in a superhero way.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So after the Battle of New York, she gets super good at archery and fighting because she wants to be just like Hawkeye.
Very exciting.
And so now she's 22 and her super rich mom, Eleanor, is going to get married to this seemingly sketchy guy, Jack.
Okay.
And then at this big gala, Kate sneaks into this black market auction going on in secret.
What kind of stuff are they auctioning?
Oh, they've got a bunch of crazy stuff. Like Hawkeye's gear from when he was Ronin, you know, when he was killing a bunch of criminals.
Oh, yeah.
And so then this gang called the Tracksuit Mafia busts in to steal this watch, and Kate puts on the Ronin costume and kicks some butt.
Oh, wow, wow, wow. Wow.
And then one of the tracksuit guys finds the watch, but this dog starts biting his leg out of nowhere.
Just randomly attacks this guy? Why'd he do that?
Because this man's a bad guy and the dog's a good boy.
A very good boy.
And so then Kate's gonna rescue this dog from traffic and then feed him pizza the whole show.
So she rewards the dog with diarrhea.
She does, yeah. That's a lot of cheese for a dog, for sure.
Ugh.
So anyway, since Kate caused a bunch of commotion while wearing the Ronin costume, there's a news report that Ronin is back.
Okay.
So the tracksuit mafia tracks her down.
Oh boy, these guys sound scary.
Yeah, except no, they're basically cartoons.
Oh, they are.
Yeah, they just give off this very dumb, wacky, cartoony, violent vibe, like Arnold Schwarzenegger in that Christmas movie he did.
Jingle All the Way?
No, they just make normal walking sounds.
That's, never mind.
And so Clint sees this news report too, so he tracks her down and saves her from the tracksuits, but then confronts her.
How did he find her?
I don't know.
Alright.
So now Clint's gotta tie up all these Ronin loose ends and make it home in time for Christmas.
Oh, it's a Christmas show.
Kinda.
That'll That'll be very good for marketing.
For sure.
So what kind of stuff are they gonna get into?
Well, they're gonna get involved with this group of LARPers, kind of become friends with them, call in a couple favors.
What kind of favors?
Like, you know, making some costumes, tampering with police evidence, risking their jobs and lives.
Oh my god.
And they're also gonna have to go up against this crime lady, Maya, who like leads the tracksuit mafia.
And what's her deal?
Well, she's mad at Hawkeye because he killed her dad while he was Ronin.
Oh, yeah, understandable.
Yeah, and she's got this number two guy with her, and this guy is not Kit Harington.
Okay.
It's not him. It's a totally different guy.
Kind of weird to specify, but all right.
And we're going to keep teasing that Maya works for someone mysterious.
Oh. Ralph Boner?
Nope.
Okay.
So eventually there's gonna be this big fight scene between Clint and Kate and Maya and Yelena. She's from the Black Widow movie.
She sure is, sir.
Well, it's gonna be hard for Kate and Clint to get out of that situation.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy.
Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, after a certain amount of fighting, they both just kinda, they just run away.
Why? Oh, the episode's over, sir.
Oh, okay. And so Clint tells Kate, you know, you gotta go home. This is too dangerous now. There's a Black Widow assassin after me.
Wow, yeah, I guess he doesn't want to put her in danger.
Exactly. So he goes to sleep on the couch of a LARPer guy he knows. So it's okay to put that guy in danger?
It is, yeah.
Got it. So eventually Clint is gonna explain the situation to Maya, so she's gonna stop trying to kill him.
What's the explanation?
Well, he was kind of being manipulated by her boss while he was just mad with rage.
Okay,
he was just following orders.
Well, let's for sure not phrase it that way, but yeah.
Yeah, good call. So anyway, then we're gonna reveal that Kate's mom is actually the one who hired Yelena, and she's working for Kingpin. He's from that streaming show with the completely different vibe.
He sure is, sir, and he's the mysterious guy that Maya is working for, too.
Amazing. So in the final episode, there's gonna be a bunch of crazy action going on around Rockefeller Center.
What kind of action?
Oh, well, like Clint gets stuck up in the giant Christmas tree, so Kate knocks it over to get him to the ground.
That seems like it could have easily killed him.
Yeah, but it doesn't, because he's one of the main characters.
Right.
And then they're gonna use a bunch of trick arrows to fight a bunch of cartoon characters.
Very wacky.
Extremely, sir, and they're gonna use a Pym arrow to turn this truckload of bad guys tiny, and then an owl is gonna fly away with them.
Oh my god.
Yeah, pretty funny, right?
I feel like that's one of the most horrifying things that's ever happened in the MCU.
But like, also funny, though.
That owl is gonna eat those guys.
Kind of a cute moment, though.
That owl is gonna pick apart their flesh with its little beak.
Yeah.
Oh, gee, what a horrible way to die. Oh, I'm gonna have nightmares.
Okay, yeah, maybe let's not think about that one too much, then.
Oh, okay.
Okay, great. That gets dark very quick.
Ignoring gruesome owl-related deaths is tight.
Anyway, so then Kate's gonna go up against Kingpin and somehow not explode when he hits her.
Very resilient.
And Kate's mom is gonna sneak up on Kingpin in a car going 70 miles an hour.
How'd she manage to sneak up on him in a car?
By being off screen until suddenly she isn't.
All right.
And then also Yelena wants to kill Clint because she thinks he's responsible for Natasha's death.
So what's Clint gonna do?
Explain that situation as well.
A lot of communication-related conflict going on.
Oh yeah, a ton. People should talk more, you know?
They should, yeah.
Hey, shouldn't there be a bunch of police around? Like the Rockefeller Christmas tree fell down, people are fighting, cars are crashing.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyway, so then one cop does show up and he arrests Kate's mom because she murdered a guy in the first episode.
Oh, and does the cop also arrest Kate for knocking down the Rockefeller Christmas tree?
He doesn't, no.
Huh. Might be considered terrorism.
So then Kate goes home with Clint for Christmas and they have this nice moment where they absolutely ruin his barbecue together.
What?
Oh, and also Maya's gonna shoot Kingpin.
Oh.
But it happens off screen, you know, and if you don't see a character die, then, you know, maybe they're not dead.
That's true, right.
And, you know, if you do see them die, maybe that was just a Skrull and the real one's still alive.
Right.
And, you know, if it wasn't a Skrull, maybe it was a version from another universe and the real one's still alive.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, if they weren't from another universe, maybe the characters can get more Pym particles and time travel and save them from dying.
Wow. Wow, we can really reverse any single thing that happens in these projects, can't we?
Oh yeah, at any time, in many ways.
Kinda lowers the impact of any single dramatic thing that happens in this ever-expanding universe of ours. Like, what are the stakes if everything can be so easily retconned?
Would it make you feel better if we made another spin-off show? That could make money.
Oh, I love spin-off shows and money. Okay, let's do it.
Okay, great.
So, you have a Spider-Man sequel for me?
Yes, sir, I do. The third entry in the, I guess, home trilogy.
Yeah, it seems like we decided that was a thing at a certain point. So what happens in this movie?
Well, now Peter is super famous because Mysterio revealed his identity in the last movie, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so his world's turned upside down. The media's all over him and his friends. That Flash guy writes a whole book about it.
Oh, boy.
And there are also some legal troubles involved, so they get this. They get Matt Murdock in. Charlie Cox.
He's from the Netflix show.
Yeah, he is.
Oh boy, doesn't get much crazier than that.
Oh, you have no idea.
Well, that's rude.
No, that's...
I have idea.
No, because sir, check this out. I was thinking we get Andrew Garfield to come in as Spider-Man from another universe.
Oh, yeah, I mean, he's great. Okay, I was expecting a bigger reaction than that. But also, we get Tobey Maguire in as Spider-Man too.
Good actor, sure.
Sir, Tobey Maguire.
I did love Seabiscuit. That was great.
No.
Seabiscuit is tight.
Sir, they both played Spider-Man before.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, in other movies, they...
Oh, I guess I missed those.
Really?
I mean, I have no recollection, but the movie will still work, right?
I guess.
Okay, great. So let's hear it.
I was hoping we could get Alfred Molina to come in. As Doc Ock.
Oh, he was fantastic in Chocolat.
Okay, now, you know what, sir? I'm gonna need you to go watch 5 Spider-Man movies real quick, okay?
Oh, really?
Yeah, the impact... None of this is gonna land the way I wanted to if you haven't watched those 5 movies.
5 movies? Okay. All right.
Please, it's... You gotta do it. You gotta do it.
Okay. Yeah.
So, what did you think?
Yeah, you know, I mean, some of that was great. What was that old jazz thing about, though?
Oh, we don't need to talk about that. Okay, now listen to this. I'm thinking we get Willem Dafoe back as Green Goblin.
Oh, he's from the first movie.
Oh, there's the reaction I'm going for.
I was also thinking we get Thomas Hayden Church back as Sandman and Reese Ifans back as Lizard.
Oh, he's from the third movie, and he's from the first movie of the rebooted movies.
That's right, and also Jamie Foxx as Electro.
He's from the second movie of the rebooted movies.
He sure is, sir. They're all from the other movies.
Amazing. Hey, what about James Franco? Should we get him back? Dane DeHaan?
Well, okay then. So what happens in the movie?
Well, okay. So it turns out that being the most famous person in the world has kind of ruined Peter and MJ and Ned's chances of getting into MIT.
Oh, okay.
And so Peter feels bad, so he goes to see Doctor Strange to ask him to cast a spell to make everybody forget he's Spider-Man.
And how does that go?
Oh, not well, sir.
See, he starts the spell, but then Peter keeps asking for little changes to it, like he wants MJ to remember him.
So Doctor Strange takes a minute to just talk it through?
No. God, no.
Why not?
So the movie can happen.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So the spell gets messed up, and then people from other universes that know that Peter Parker is Spider-Man start popping into this universe.
Wait, did Electro know that Peter Parker was Spider-Man?
No, he didn't.
So... Okay.
So eventually Peter's gonna capture all these villains and they're gonna kinda recap each other's movies to each other, a bunch of inside jokes for fans.
Very fun.
And then Doctor Strange makes this box that'll send everybody back to their universes.
Oh, great.
But the thing is, they all got zapped over here pretty much right before they died. So Peter's like, well, we have to help them. We can't just send them to die.
Oh.
But Doctor Strange says no, so Peter steals the box and then Doctor Strange brings him into the mirror dimension, which he controls.
Oh man, it's gonna be tough for Peter to beat Strange in there.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, cause see, math?
Oh, math. Yeah, math.
That works, kinda. So what else is gonna happen?
Well, there's kinda this consensus on the internet that everybody's tired of seeing Uncle Ben die in Spider-Man projects.
That does seem to happen a lot.
Yeah, so I figure we don't do that.
Right.
And instead, we kill Aunt May.
Oh my god.
Yeah, Green Goblin's gonna blow her up, and right before she dies, she's gonna tell Peter, you know, with great power must also come great responsibility.
Yeah, that lesson just doesn't carry the same weight without one of your parents' siblings violently dying.
Very true, sir. So anyway, then Ned is gonna use Doctor Strange's sling ring to try and open a portal to get Peter.
And that's a thing he can do?
Yeah, we're gonna throw in a line about him having magic in his family, so he can do portals now.
Wow, okay, so we're just kinda crapping on Doctor Strange's abilities in this movie a little bit, huh?
A little, yeah.
Well, okay then.
And so then these portals open, and that's how these other Peter Parkers come in, the ones played by Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield.
Oh, wow, wow, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, it's gonna be very nostalgic, sir.
So I guess they each get like a cameo line, like a little jokey thing.
Oh no, they're like in the movie now.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, full-on characters with effects on the plot and everything.
Okay, well that's not usually how these things go.
Yeah, no, well see, this movie's kind of a love letter to the Spider-Man movies and their fans.
Aw, that's nice. I like that.
Yeah, a massively lucrative showcase of our intellectual property.
Yeah, okay, the first thing you said sounded a lot more romantic, though.
Cashing in on nostalgia, but done right.
You had it the first time.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So does Ned keep making portals?
No, he stops at 2.
I mean, why not keep trying? They could get Tom Holland, they could see how many Spider-Mans they can get.
The scene has served its purpose, sir. We gotta move on.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, then eventually all the spider guys are gonna get together and do some science to make cures for the bad guys.
Very cool.
And then there's gonna be this big fight where they try to cure them all.
Amazing. Man, it's gonna be a little hard to keep track of which Spider-Man's which during the big fight, huh?
Actually, yeah, a little.
Alright.
And so eventually Tom Holland is so mad that he's about to kill Green Goblin.
Oh boy.
But Tobey Maguire steps in and stops him using nothing but his wise face. And then he gets stabbed.
Oh no, is he okay?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, he's alright.
Alright.
It was kind of rude of you emotionally, you know.
Well, so none of their Spidey senses went off when he was about to get stabbed?
No, because they were having a moment. Spidey senses don't work if you're having a moment.
Oh, good to know.
So then it looks like all these other people are about to come in from other dimensions. It's about to be nuts.
Oh, no.
So Tom Holland, Peter, has Doctor Strange cast a new spell where everybody forgets about Peter Parker entirely.
Oh, very selfless.
It is. So then all the villains get sent back to their universes, all cured and whatnot.
Are they being sent back to just a second before they're killed?
Yeah, maybe. So anyway, then it's all very sad for Tom Holland, Spider-Man, because MJ and Ned don't remember him.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, and he's about to go explain the whole situation to them, but then he realizes they're probably better off without him in their lives.
Very sad.
It is, yeah. So he's got to get an apartment all by himself and start over.
So he still has, like, a social security number, like the government still remembers him? Birth certificate?
Maybe.
What happens with all the videos and news reports about him being Spider-Man?
I guess the memory spell works on computer memory all. Also.
What about Flash's book that he wrote?
Okay, look, sir, I'm gonna need you to get all the way off my back about this memory spell, okay? We're going for a clean slate kind of thing here.
Oh, okay, let me get off of that thing.
Thanks.
So what do you think?
Oh, it sounds like a really good time, you know? How are we gonna market this without spoiling all this crazy stuff? Leaks? Oh, leaks! Yeah, that'll work. Let's do that.
So, you have a new show for me?
Yes, sir, I do. I was thinking we could do a Moon Knight series.
Oh, like a prank show?
What?
You run around, friggin' show your bare butt to Sir Patrick Stewart?
No.
Mooning Knights is tight.
No, I was thinking like a show about the Marvel character Moon Knight.
Oh, yeah, that makes more sense. That's more on brand for us, for sure.
Yeah, so we're gonna meet this British guy, Stephen Grant, right? And he keeps blacking out and waking up in strange places.
Oh, been there.
But it turns out when he's blacking out, it's actually a split personality situation, and this guy Mark Spector's taking over.
Oh, so we're doing multiple characters played by the same actor?
Yeah, they're gonna be constantly talking to each other, interacting and stuff.
That never works.
Well, sometimes it works.
It's just weird to watch one guy interacting with himself. It doesn't cut together well. Nobody wants to watch that.
I mean, I feel like some people might.
All right, man, I guess we could give it a shot.
Okay, great. So anyway, it turns out this Mark guy is the avatar of Khonshu, the Egyptian god of the moon.
Okay.
And so he has the ability to summon this badass superhero suit and become the Moon Knight.
Oh man, I can't wait to see Moon Knight in action.
And see him you will, sir.
Oh boy.
For about 15 minutes in the whole runtime.
What?
Yeah, not a ton of Moon Knight in the Moon Knight show. He also does this thing where he blacks out before big action scenes. It just kind of comes to with the aftermath.
Kind of want to see those happen.
Well, too bad.
All right.
So anyway, Mark and Steven are going to kind of bicker over who gets to control the body as they try to stop this bad guy, Harrow.
Harrow, huh? What's his deal?
Well, he wants to find this other god Amit's tomb so he can bring her back to life and she could kill anyone who has or will commit evil.
Yikes.
Yeah, and Steven sees that Harrow has this Amit-style tattoo on his arm. And he's doing that same thing already, judging people and killing them.
Big yikes.
So Steven's gonna team up with this woman, Layla, who's actually Mark's wife, and try to stop this guy.
Yeah, frickin' stop this guy. Sounds like a real jerk.
So eventually, Khonshu brings them in front of all the other Egyptian gods to tell them about Harrow trying to find Amit's tomb.
Smart. But
then they bring Harrow in, and Harrow's like, actually, Khonshu isn't very nice, and Mark has mental health issues, so the gods are like, all right, well, Harrow's clearly done nothing wrong.
What, that's it? They just believe him?
They just believe him, yeah, that's right.
Why doesn't Mark make him show that magical Emmett tattoo of his?
Unclear. So then all the avatars leave, but this one lady stays behind and gives Mark a hint about some other thing he can find that'll help him out.
Oh, very nice.
So him and Layla go on another little adventure, and eventually they find this star map that'll lead them to Amit's tomb.
Okay.
But this star map was made thousands of years ago, so Khonshu has no choice but to turn back the entire night sky to see what it looked like on that night.
I mean, they have, like, iPhone apps that let you do that.
Yeah, but he shifts massive celestial bodies instead of opening the app store.
Wow, people must freak out.
Not really, no. This is the MCU. People see crazy stuff all the time.
That's a good point.
So anyway, then all the other gods punish Khonshu and imprison him inside a little Ushabti figurine.
Oh, dang it.
And so eventually Mark actually finds Amit's Ushabti, but Harrow pops out and shoots him dead.
Oh, that's fatal.
It is, except no, not really, because this is the MCU and death is rarely permanent.
That's another good point.
So Mark wakes up in this asylum-themed afterlife, and he finds Steven trapped inside a sarcophagus begging to be let out.
So that's what happens after you die.
Yeah, sometimes. So then they're walking around and they find another sarcophagus that somebody's trying to get out of.
Wow, so who's in there?
Well, at the very end of the show, we're gonna find out that there's actually a third personality inside the body named Jake Lockley.
They don't open it up? Mark just found Steven inside one of those. Aren't they curious?
No. Oh, okay. Yeah, no, they keep walking and they find a hippo.
What?
Yeah, it's this Egyptian goddess and she brings them on a boat sailing through the afterlife.
Okay.
And she weighs their hearts to see if they're balanced and they can enter the Field of Reeds, which is like an eternal paradise kind of place, but their hearts aren't balanced.
So what do?
Well, Steven ends up sacrificing himself and turning to sand and being stranded in the Duat Desert so Mark can go to the Field of Reeds.
Well, what about that Jake Lockley part of them? Shouldn't he be involved in this calculation somehow?
Hey, shut up. So then Mark is in the Field of Reeds, but he's like, we gotta go back for Steven. We can't leave him lost in the sands forever.
Yeah, that'd be messed up.
But the hippo goddess is like, it doesn't work like that, Mark.
Oh, well, sounds like it's impossible to get him back then.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because see, it immediately does work like that, Mark.
Oh.
Yeah, he just kind of magically runs right back into the desert and finds Steven immediately, and then some gates open up and they go through.
Well, that worked out great.
It did. And then also, Layla released Khonshu so Mark and Steven get their healing powers back.
How does she manage to free Khonshu?
Well, turns out all you have to do is smash the figurine and that does the trick.
Oh, nice.
But also, Harrow has everything he needs to set Amit free now, so the other gods show up like, what is going on? Who could be doing this?
Do they not remember the meeting they just had about that?
Yeah, no, they forgot about that, I guess. So they're like, who could it be? And then Harrow kills them all.
Very rude.
So then Amit is released and she's a very angry crocodile.
Oh yeah?
Oh yeah. So she inhales a bunch of souls and becomes super huge. And then Khonshu also becomes really big.
How?
By becoming really big.
Sick.
Yeah, so then there's gonna be this big final fight, and also Layla has powers too now.
Oh, she does?
Yeah, the hippopotamus gave her some bug wings.
This is a weird show.
Kind of. So then Mark turns into Moon Knight and flies in to start kicking some butt.
He flies now?
He flies now.
Wow, wow, wow. Wow.
And then it seems like Harrow is gonna kill Mark and Steven and some bad guys shooting at Layla, but only on the shielded part of her body for some reason.
Uh-oh, so what's Mark gonna do?
He's gonna do what he does best, black out and take care of everything off screen.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's the big finale. We don't see what happens.
I kinda wanted to see it.
Well, too bad. So then they trap Amit inside of Harrow's body, because this way they could kill her.
Okay.
But then Mark and Steven decide not to do it.
What? Why not?
Because that's kind of a thing in movies and TV. The hero kills a bunch of people throughout the movie, but then when it comes time to kill the big bad guy, they're like, no.
But this is a god that wants to kill a bunch of people.
Yeah, and so then Khonshu lets Steven and Mark free because they had made a deal.
Oh, well, that's nice.
It is, but then in a mid-credit scene, we're gonna learn about that Jake Lockley guy, and Khonshu has him kill a bunch of hospital staff to get to Harrow and then kills him.
Khonshu has Jake kill a bunch of innocent employees?
He did, yeah. So what do you think?
Well, it sounds like a great show.
Amazing. So what are you thinking for casting? I was thinking Oscar Isaac for Moon Knight.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
For Layla,
we could slide into some DMs.
What?
So, you have a Doctor Strange sequel for me?
Yes, sir, I do. It's gonna be called Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
Oh boy, I bet we're gonna see some wacky multiverses.
Oh, you know it, sir.
Oh man.
Briefly.
What?
Glimpses of them for a minute or so, they're gonna flash by.
Oh, okay, that's alright.
Yeah, and then we're gonna pretty much be in the same 2-3 universes for the whole thing. The person who can jump universes can't control her power.
Oh, that's too bad. So who is this character?
America.
Captain America? But that's not possible. At the end of Endgame, he turned into...
Joe Biden.
Now, this character's name is America Chavez, and she got so scared of a bee that her mom's disappeared.
What? They're gone, sir.
But what about this America character? Tell me about her character development.
I just did.
Oh, all right. So America has the power to open portals between universes, but it only happens when she's really scared.
Bummer.
And so at the beginning of the movie, she's with this alternate Doctor Strange, and he gets killed by this big eyeball tentacle monster.
Oh, very exciting.
Yeah, and they end up in our dimension, so our Wong and our Strange fight this monster.
Oh boy.
So they're fighting and slicing, and eventually they do this special hand move and stab it in the eye.
Probably should have led with that move.
Maybe. So then Doctor Strange goes to see Wanda, but it turns out she's the one who's trying to capture America.
What? Why?
Well, she wants to use her powers to go be with her kids from WandaVision, but in another universe.
I thought we kind of had her work through all that in WandaVision.
Yeah, but then she read an evil book, so that just undid all that, and she's pure evil now.
See, this is why I don't read.
So it turns out she's the one who sent that interdimensional tentacle monster thing.
How'd she have access to that interdimensional being?
Unclear.
Wait, hadn't she, like, made her kids up or something?
She had, yeah.
Can't she just do that again?
No.
And I guess she wants to go see Vision, too, huh?
No.
Why not?
Because.
Can't she work with America to find a universe where the Wanda's dead but the kids are alive?
No.
Why not?
So the movie can happen.
All right, well, it seems like this is happening.
It is, and so now Doctor Strange has to protect this girl from Wanda.
Man, so what does she do?
Well, Wanda attacks and kills a bunch of sorcerers, and Doctor Strange and America zip over to another universe.
Oh boy, what's going on in this universe?
Oh, it's real wacky, sir. Red traffic lights and green traffic lights are switched, and pizza is balls.
Oh!
No, like they're balls of pizza.
Oh, okay.
So eventually, they get brought in front of the Illuminati.
Oh, who are they?
Oh, we're talking Captain Carter, Maria Rambo, Captain Marvel, Black Bolt, Professor X, and Reed Richards, Mr. Fantastic.
Oh, they're all from Things!
They sure are, sir.
Oh boy, sometimes I recognize Thing and my brain releases fun chemicals.
Hell yeah, sir.
Hell yeah, I'm familiar with some of the things you said.
Fantastic, sir. So Doctor Strange tries to warn them that Wanda's gonna come kill everybody, but they're like, yeah, no, we can handle her.
Uh-oh, Wanda's on her way?
She is. She does this thing called dreamwalking where she can control alternate Wandas.
Not good.
So then Reed Richards, the smartest man in the universe, is like, Wanda, you better back off because Black Bolt here can destroy you with one whisper from his mouth.
One whisper from his mouth? That's a weird way to phrase that. Where else would a whisper come from?
But then Wanda's gonna be like, what mouth? And his mouth is gone.
Oh, he was setting her up for a one-liner. That's why he said it so weird.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So then what happens?
Well, then Black Bolt blows his own mind.
I feel like it's weird that the smartest man in the universe told her exactly how to kill him.
Hey, shut up. And then she kills them one by one, and she can alter reality, so it's pretty brutal.
So what happens to Mr. Fantastic?
Oh, spaghetti?
Oh, Fantastic Spaghetti is tight.
Sure is.
And what does she do to the others?
Well, then she decides to stop altering reality so we could have a little action scene, and she makes something fall on Captain Marvel and crushes her to death.
That doesn't seem like it would hurt Captain Marvel.
Yeah, but it does, because this is just a cameo.
And what about Captain Carter?
50% off.
Oh, that's actually a pretty good deal.
So now Strange and America and an alternate Christine Palmer have to run away from Wanda through these tunnels, and they're closing blast doors, but she's just going through them.
Uh-oh, so what do they do?
Well, eventually they close a blast door behind them, so then they stop and turn around to see if she'll get through.
Why wouldn't she? She got through all the others.
Yeah, well, they're gonna stop at this one, because Wanda's gonna do a fun little jump scare.
Oh, very scary.
It is. So eventually Wanda catches them and captures America.
Oh, no.
And so she uses America's powers to send Doctor Strange and Christine to this destroyed universe where there's this evil Doctor Strange.
So Strange has to fight an evil version of himself?
Yeah, he does. They're gonna have this musical fight.
Oh, like a rap battle?
No, like throwing musical notes at each other with magic.
Oh, okay, gotcha. I like my thing a lot better.
Well, that's too bad, sir. So then Doctor Strange uses that evil book to dreamwalk into the corpse of that dead Doctor Strange.
Oh.
Yeah, so then he's gotta go zombie fight Wanda with a bunch of souls of the damned, and Christine's gonna kinda coach him on what to do.
How does she know what to do?
Unclear, but then they realize to defeat Wanda, they have to use America's powers.
Well, that's gonna be hard to do since she doesn't know how to use them.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy.
Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because see, Doctor Strange tells her to believe in herself,
and so... you know, that does the trick.
Oh, okay. Well, great.
Yeah, the power was inside her all along or whatever. So she sends Wanda to another dimension and sees her kids, but they're scared of her. So she realizes she's kind of a monster.
Wow, wow, wow. Wow.
Yeah, so then she collapses a temple onto herself.
Jeez.
So at the end of the movie, America is training to be a sorcerer, just like Doctor Strange.
She's not trying to look for her mom's?
Oh, yeah. No, she's not.
Well, okay then.
So what do you think?
Well, I think it sounds like a lot of fun.
I'm just trying to think of some cool Reed Richards casting, right? You know, something that'll get people talking. Any ideas?
Nope. No ideas.
Wait. Do that again? Do that again, but look to your right.
Yeah, there it is. Okay, I know exactly who to get.
So, you have a new show for me?
Yes, sir, I do. Miss Marvel?
I mean, honestly, we've been putting out so much content, I haven't really had the chance to get nostalgic.
This is a show called Miss Marvel, about this 16-year-old Kamala Khan.
Oh, and what's her deal?
Well, she freaking loves the Avengers, sir, especially Captain Marvel. She has all her merch.
Oh, we're even making fictional money off of merch. I like that.
Yeah, and so Kamala has this friend Bruno, and it seems like he's got a little crush on her.
Aw, teenage love.
And she's gonna meet this new kid, Cameron, and it seems like he has a little crush on her.
Oh, him too. Okay.
And later in the show, she's gonna meet this guy, Kareem, and it seems like he's got a little crush on her.
Him as well, also. All right, him too.
And she also has this brother, Amir.
Oh, no.
And he's gonna get married soon.
Oh, thank God.
So anyway, Kamala really wants to go to this Avengers convention, but her parents are super strict. They don't want her to go.
Okay.
But she sneaks over to it anyway, dressed like Captain Marvel, and that's where she discovers she has powers.
How did she get powers?
By putting on this bangle from her grandmother.
And?
Getting powers from it.
Oh, that was pretty simple. Okay, neat.
Yeah, so she ends up saving this girl from something that she herself caused, and now she's a secret superhero.
Oh, wow, 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 wow.
So anyway, later she's gonna find out that guy Cameron and his mom Najma are part of this group called the Clandestines.
And what's her deal?
Well, they're from another dimension, and they've been stuck here for like 80 years, and they need Kamala's help to get back.
Right.
But then Bruno's like, well, that might be dangerous. So Kamala's like, okay, well, I'm gonna take a minute to think about this.
Yeah, I mean, that's totally fair.
But then Najma hears about that, and she goes nuts, and they all attack Amir's wedding.
They've been waiting for 80 years, and they can't wait a couple more days for Kamala to think about it?
That's what we're going with. And these people have some little powers of their own, so they're pretty dangerous, and they'll straight up kill people. They don't care.
Oh, no.
But then these federal agents from the Department of Damage Control show up and arrest all the bad guys.
Jeez, well, I guess they must interrogate all the guests from the wedding, too, huh?
They do not. So then Kamala's grandmother calls, and she's like, hey, listen, you guys gotta come to Karachi right now. So they get on a plane and head over there.
So not only do they not interrogate anyone, they let them leave the country as well?
Oh yeah, they're comically incompetent, sir.
Yeah, sure sounds that way.
But they do take the clandestines into custody.
Wow, is it gonna be tough for them to break out?
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, cause see, they just kinda do it. They just kinda break out immediately.
Well, these damage control people are terrible at controlling damage.
They sure are, sir. So then in Karachi, Kamala meets these people called the Red Daggers.
And what do they do?
Well, they have a very nifty PowerPoint presentation to explain alternate dimensions and stuff.
They just had that ready to go?
Yeah, I mean, people always have expository presentations ready to go in the MCU.
That's a good point. Weird that we don't ever see anyone preparing those.
Kinda. So then they show her that if the clandestines manage to open up this veil to the Nord dimension where they're from, that'll basically destroy the world.
Whoa, 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 whoa. The world is at stake?
It rarely isn't, sir.
Jeez, whoa. I wonder if the world's gonna end.
Maybe this time it will, you know? Maybe this is the time.
Man, that's high stakes. I hope the world doesn't end. I hope it keeps going.
Well, stay tuned to the rest of the pitch to find out, sir.
I will.
So anyway, later, Najma stabs the bangle, which sends Kamala back to 1942 during the partition.
She can time travel?
Yeah, I guess so. So then she saves her own grandmother's life and then comes back.
Good, good. It's good that she did that.
Yeah, she had to make sure that she'd be born one day. I think it'd be really good for the show if the main character was born.
I agree.
So then when she comes back to the present time, the veil is open, but it turns you into a skeleton if you touch it.
Those are from Halloween.
They sure are, sir. So then Kamala convinces Najma that if she ended the world, her son would be sad about that. So she decides not to end it.
Oh, cool that it was so simple to change her mind after 8 decades of determination.
Yeah, so she transfers her powers to her son, which is a thing that she can do, and then she closes the veil and turns into a skeleton.
Wow, well, that's a nice message.
What is?
Well, you know, maybe the real skeletons were inside us all along.
Yeah, that's not technically wrong.
Nice.
All right.
Not technically being wrong is tight.
So, okay, so moving on. So then they gotta go back to America because Cameron cannot handle these new powers.
Uh-oh.
So Kamala's parents give her a cool new costume so she can go save the day and help out.
I thought they were super strict and protective.
Yeah, but now that she defied them a bunch and did a whole lot of dangerous stuff, they're like, yeah, we can trust you now.
What?
So all the kids go to their high school, but then Damage Control shows up.
How'd they find them?
Well, one of the kids asks that question, but another one's like, it doesn't matter.
But how did they, though?
Hey, shut up. So now they're outside, and they've got the school surrounded.
Man, well, it's gonna be tough for a group of kids to get out of that situation.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, see, they rig up the school Home Alone style, and they take these guys out with science and with softball launchers.
It sounds like it takes super long to set up. Why didn't the agents just go in?
Because? So then these agents try to shoot Cameron dead, but Kamala jumps in and saves him.
They tried to shoot a kid?
They did, yeah. They said they would
use non-lethal force and then immediately used lethal force.
Yikes.
So then Kamala punches a hole in the ground and he escapes to Pakistan.
How deep was that hole?
I know, right?
No, like, what are you talking about?
And then Bruno's gonna tell Kamala that he discovered she has a mutation.
That's the word from the other thing.
It sure is, sir. And then Kamala swaps places with Captain Marvel.
Very exciting and confusing.
And so that's about it. What do you think?
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. Maybe we put this out at the same time as that Obi-Wan Kenobi show we're doing.
Is that the best strategy, sir? Feels like people are gonna wanna watch Obi-Wan instead of Miss Marvel, maybe.
I think it'll be fine.
So, you have a new Thor movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do. And let me tell you, he's dumber than ever.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just real. He's not smart at all, this guy. All
right, well, I can't wait to see him team up with the Guardians of the Galaxy. You know, we kind of ended Endgame with them taking off onto adventure together.
Oh, yeah, and let me tell you, sir, the Guardians of the Galaxy are going to be in this.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, just ever so briefly.
What?
So we're going to meet this guy, Gore, right? And all his people have died, and his daughter, too, even though he's been praying to their god.
Okay.
And then he meets his god, who it turns out is a big old jerk, and then he gets chosen by the Necro Sword and kills the god.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so now Gore has become the god butcher, and he's just gonna go on a rampage. He wants all gods to die.
Why?
Well, he thinks they're all selfish and they only care about themselves.
Dang, well, it's gonna be crazy to see him going around butchering gods.
Oh, yeah, except, no, that is gonna be happening off-screen.
But he's the god butcher.
Yeah, so he's off doing that. We're not gonna see that.
I would like to see it.
No.
Ah, dang it.
Anyway, so then we're gonna meet up with Jane Foster.
And what's going on with her?
Well, she has stage 4 terminal cancer.
Oh my god, that's terrible.
Yeah, but don't worry, sir. Everything's still gonna be hilarious all the time.
That wasn't my concern.
Still plenty of jokes per minute, sir. Don't even worry about it.
Right, okay, maybe there shouldn't be in some parts?
We're gonna be cruising at a furious JPM.
All
right. You know those screaming goat videos from the internet?
From like 10 years ago?
Yeah. Yeah, we're bringing that and a bunch of screaming goats the whole time.
All right, I mean, that was really funny 10 years ago. I guess it might still be funny now.
Well, I hope you do like it, sir, because if it doesn't land the first time, it's certainly not going to land the next 7.
Wow, well, gee.
So anyway, Thor finds out from Sif that Gore is butchering all these gods in amazing ways that I'm never going to show you, and he's on his way to New Asgard next.
Oh, no.
Yeah, New Asgard has become, like, super touristy. Like, they have an ice cream shop called the Infinity Cones. It has, like, an infinity gauntlet theme.
That kind of seems like it's in poor taste.
No, it tastes fantastic. I mean, it's ice cream.
No, I mean, the Infinity Gauntlet was used in like a worldwide tragedy that's kind of messed up for a theme.
Yeah, nothing a little ice cream can't solve.
That's a good point. Yeah, okay.
So Thor shows up to New Asgard and he sees that Jane is now also a Thor.
What do you mean?
Well, turns out back when they were dating, Thor had asked Mjolnir to protect Jane, so that's what he's doing here.
Wow, well, it's gonna be cool to see her transform for the first time.
Yeah, except no, that's off screen.
That's off screen too. Okay, alright, dang it.
So anyway, now she has this super cool Thor outfit, because that's what happens to you when you wield Mjolnir.
That didn't happen to Captain America when he had it.
Hey, shut up. And so then Gore steals all these children and runs away.
Oh, super rude.
And so his plan is to lure Thor, because he just knows he's going to come to the rescue of these kids.
He believes that all gods are selfish and only care about themselves, so his plan is to capture people that they care about, because they would definitely come help them.
Yes.
Well, okay then.
So Thor goes to the city where a bunch of gods live, including Zeus, and he tries to get them to help, but they're all scared of Gore.
Oh man, all these gods in one place? That's the perfect setup for a Gore the Butcher attack scene.
Oh, you know it, sir.
Anyway.
Oh. So then they impale Zeus with his own thunderbolt and steal it and run away.
Oh, impaling people and stealing their belongings is tight.
Oh my god.
That won't hold up in court, by the way. That wasn't an official admission of guilt or confession.
Alright, so then they go fight Gore and he steals Stormbreaker.
Why?
Well, it turns out that Stormbreaker is the key to the realm of Eternity, where Eternity will grant one person one wish.
Oh.
What's up?
It just seems like maybe it would have been easier for Thanos to just go there instead of trying to gather all the Infinity Stones.
Yeah.
Or for the Avengers to go there for that matter, instead of inventing time travel.
Yeah, well, see, the thing is, I'm gonna need you to get all the way off my back about previous Marvel movies.
Oh, okay, let me get off of that thing.
Oh, thank you so much. Oh, thank you very much.
So does Thor just summon Stormbreaker back? That's a thing he can do, right?
Yeah, no, I guess it's not within his summoning range.
He needs to change service provider.
And then they find out that Mjolnir is actually draining Jane's life force, so if she uses it again, she'll die.
I thought Mjolnir was protecting her. Now it's killing her?
Yes.
Dang it, Mjolnir. What the heck?
So Thor is like, all right, well, Jane, you can't come fight with me, and I'll
also, Valkyrie got stabbed, and Korg is just a face. He lost his body.
Man, well, it's gonna be hard for Thor to fight Gorr on his own.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because see, he's not gonna be alone, actually.
What do you mean?
Well, he lends his Thor powers to all the kids, which is a thing he can do now, so they all fight Gorr and his monsters.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so then our hero, you know, the guy with the army of child soldiers, attacks the bad guy, who's, you know, the guy who thinks gods should be nicer to people.
That's, maybe don't phrase it that way.
Right, okay, the good guy fights the bad guy.
Yeah, definitely keep it vague, that sounds better.
Anyway, then Jane shows up to help too.
But she'll die.
She does, yeah, but then Gorr is so moved by their love, when he makes his wish, he doesn't wish for all gods to die.
What does he wish for?
He wishes for his daughter to come back to life, but then he dies, so Thor kinda has a daughter now.
Very cute.
And Korg has his body back, and he falls in love.
How did he get his body back?
I don't know, and so that's about it. What do you think?
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun, but do you think maybe we're going a little too hard on the Marvel humor?
Sir, it's impossible to lean too hard on the Marvel humor. Trust me.
So, you have some new Disney Plus content for me?
Yes, sir, I do. Although I am kind of worried we might be oversaturating people with Marvel stuff at the moment. Maybe we should take a breather between projects for a sec?
No.
Well, okay then. So I was making my way down the list of Marvel characters we haven't brought into the MCU yet, and I was thinking we could make a She-Hulk show.
Oh yeah, we haven't done that character yet. That sounds like money to me.
Yeah, and it's a real fun character, because in the comics, she was breaking the fourth wall even before Deadpool.
You know, I can see that working well in Deadpool movies or comic books, but do you think it might lower the impact of the overall MCU to have a character that knows that they're in a cinematic universe?
Hey, shut up. So we're gonna meet Jennifer Walters, who's a lawyer and also Bruce Banner's cousin.
He's from the movies!
He sure is, sir. And so they get into a car accident and she gets some of his blood in her blood.
Oh, unexpected blood combos are tight.
Okay, and so since they're related, she turns into a Hulk as well.
Oh, wow.
Wow. And so Bruce is gonna show her some cool stuff about being a Hulk, like you can drink alcohol and not get drunk.
Why would you want that?
Pretty cool, right?
Not really.
And so he's gonna teach her and try to guide her through these new powers, and she's gonna kinda make fun of him and insult him, so that's gonna be fun.
That kinda makes her seem a little rude and mean. He's just trying to help her because he cares about her.
Well, she doesn't really want his help, plus she's already kinda mastered the whole Hulk thing already.
Oh, she has?
Yes, sir. She's already fantastic and agile, and she could turn into She-Hulk at will without losing control of herself at all.
How is that possible? I feel like it took Bruce a long time to master all that.
Well, Jen explains to Bruce that because she's been catcalled and mansplained to, and some men are straight up dangerous, she's much better at controlling her anger than Bruce because she's had to do it infinitely more than he has.
Okay, yeah, no, I mean, I see what she's saying, and in no way do I want to belittle what women have to go through at all.
Careful.
But also, she's saying this to Bruce Banner, who saved the planet multiple times and lost his best friend and his love interest and was turned into a monster and chased by governments and turned into a gladiator slave on an alien planet, tried to take his own life. It's like, of all people, Bruce?
Yeah, okay, so I hear what you're saying, and it's actually not okay for you to point that out.
Oh, okay, my bad.
No, it's too late, you're on a list now. You can't have any opinions about this show without being classified as being on one extreme of a very complicated issue.
Ah, dang it, I hate being on lists.
So anyway, Jen goes back to her life as a lawyer, and during a trial, a super-powered influencer, which is a thing in the MCU now apparently, burst through the wall.
Uh-oh.
And so then towards the end of the first episode, Jen's gonna turn into She-Hulk, and everyone's gonna learn that she has powers.
Wow, and so what else do we find out in the first episode?
Oh, well, you know Captain America?
Yeah?
He put his pee-pee in a lady.
What?
Then Jen gets fired from her lawyer job and gets hired at another firm to start, like, a superhero law division.
Okay, so this becomes kind of like a lawyer show.
Ah, kinda. Sometimes. A little.
Do you know how to write courtroom scenes?
Nope, and then so also it's gonna be kind of a slice of life kind of show, like Jen's gonna go on dates and stuff.
Right, okay, does she also fight crime or...
Eh, not so much.
So, like, what happens?
Oh, well, stuff. You know, sometimes.
All right, you gotta give me something, please.
Oh, well, at a certain point, she's gonna represent Emil Blonsky, so that's gonna be pretty cool.
I don't think I know who that is.
Remember, you know, he was in the movie, the 14 years ago, he was in the movie.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, no, it wasn't a super memorable character, but yeah.
Well, that doesn't really matter, to be honest, because he's just a completely different character now.
Oh, okay, great, it's all connected.
Also, Wong is gonna show up sometimes.
He's from the movies.
He is, and he's gonna become friends with this girl, Madison.
And what's her deal?
She's always drunk
and she's the absolute best part of the show.
Nice.
Also, at a certain point, She-Hulk is gonna twerk with Megan Thee Stallion.
What? Superheroes don't usually twerk?
Exactly. So people are gonna be like, what? And then other people are gonna be, you know, deeply angry about it.
Oh my god, what?
You know, see, that's gonna be kind of a thing in the show. We're gonna kind of rile up angry internet dudes and then make fun of them for getting riled up.
That's gonna be really good for the state of internet discourse, yeah.
Yeah, that's gonna help with all the toxicity online, I'm pretty sure.
So any interesting plot threads or anything I should know about?
Oh, there's like this group of toxic dudes that call themselves Intelligentsia, and they're trying to get some of She-Hulk's blood.
Oh boy, I bet that's gonna come into play later.
What
the hell was that noise?
It was
Oh yeah, I heard it. What did it mean, though?
Well, see, we're gonna get to the finale, and it's gonna be set up like a big Marvel showdown, you know?
Oh, okay.
So there's gonna be this toxic dude that turns into a Hulk, and then Bruce shows up, and Abomination's there, and it's gonna be this big showdown type thing.
Uh-oh, gonna be hard for her to get out of that situation.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, see, Jen is gonna break the fourth wall and be like, is this working for anyone?
Okay.
She's gonna be like, this is kinda crappy, right? Where this show's going, it's not good.
That's, we're making the show.
We are, yeah. And so then she's gonna go into the Disney Plus menu and eventually into the She-Hulk writer's room.
What is going on?
Then eventually meet with the head of Marvel, who as it turns out is just this creatively bankrupt robot algorithm making formulaic decisions based on what it thinks is popular.
Kinda hurtful.
And so she's gonna get him to solve the few problems that were actually happening in the show, and then we're pretty much done. So does just pointing out that the writing wasn't very good make it better in some way?
God, I hope so.
Do you think we risk making any future She-Hulk or even Marvel projects less captivating by having a super meta character that can literally change the script of the shows and movies she's in?
I don't think you could ever go too meta, sir.
Isn't that right, future me who's editing this video?
You know, that's a great question, but again, I'm just filming myself pretending to edit this video. You know, I'm not actually editing this right now.
Oh, maybe we should check with the comment section of this video. I mean, what do you guys think down there in YouTube comment section? Is it possible to get too meta?
Super easy! Barley and inconvenience.
Right, okay, that's pretty much all they say down there, I think.
So anyway, what do you think?
Why'd you just zone out for like 30 seconds?
So anyway, what do you think?
I mean, it sounds like a pretty good time. I just feel like it's missing a little something to make sure that people tune in.
I've got just the thing.
So, you have a movie for me?
Yes, sir, I do. It's a sequel to a super popular movie, and it's gonna have blue people underwater.
But Avatar 2? Marvel doesn't make those, you silly goose.
No, actually, I'm talking about Black Panther 2.
Oh, okay, yeah, no, that series is in our repertoire.
That's not how that's pronounced. So anyway, obviously, we're gonna start the movie with a nice tribute to Chadwick Boseman. You know, the Marvel logo's just gonna be him.
Of course.
And in the movie, T'Challa's gonna pass away from an illness, and Shuri's gonna be trying to save him by making that heart-shaped herb synthetically, but she's not gonna manage.
Wow.
Yeah, so throughout the movie, Shuri and the Wakandans are kind of dealing with the passing of T'Challa while also dealing with this new threat that emerges.
Oh, what's the threat?
Oh, it's freaking Namor.
How do you pronounce that?
You know, everybody in the movie's gonna say it differently. I guess there's no wrong way to say it.
No, I'm gonna pronounce it Namor.
Okay, no, maybe there is a wrong way.
Like a hungry little kid asking for seconds of his favorite dessert. Namor. Is that cool?
Yeah, no, that's absolutely not cool.
Well, okay then. So why does this guy want to fight Wakanda?
Well, it's a long story, but see, this guy's the leader of a secret underwater nation called Talokan, and they also have vibranium, right?
Now, that's the stuff that makes all the cool things do all the cool things.
Yeah, and since Wakanda told the whole world about vibranium, the CIA started looking for some with a vibranium-detecting machine.
What does that machine do?
It detects vibranium.
That's probably why they called it that.
That's absolutely why it's called that, sir. And since the CIA found some vibranium underwater, Namor is like, hey, Wakanda, this is your fault. What the heck?
Oh.
So he's like, now you gotta go get me the scientist that made the machine.
I mean, if the machine was purchased by the CIA, they probably already looked into how to make more. What's the point of getting the scientist girl?
So we could introduce Riri Williams to the MCU before her show premieres on Disney Plus.
Oh, okay, yeah, that is urgent. Get her in here real quick.
So Namor just kind of shows up in Wakanda and says all this to Shuri and the Queen.
Do they not have security for the waterways headed into Wakanda?
I mean, they must, but Namor's so good, he bypasses them.
How does he manage that?
With his, you know, water skills, I guess. guess. It's off screen, so he just comes and goes as he pleases.
Oh, coming and going as you please is tight.
Sure, sure. So now Shuri and Okoye have to go get Riri or Wakanda's gonna be attacked.
Why don't they send more backup with them?
Unclear, but so then Shuri and Riri get taken to Talokan underwater.
Uh-oh, tough to breathe underwater.
And so Namor shows Shuri how beautiful his nation is and tells her his origin story and why he hates everybody.
Understandable.
I didn't even tell you why he hates everybody.
I know, I get it.
Okay, that's alarming. So anyway, he's like, hey, we should team up and burn the world down. And if you refuse, I'm gonna destroy Wakanda first.
They're gonna wage war with the entire planet?
Yeah.
How do they plan on taking on landlocked countries with beluga whales and hot air balloons?
Well, I wouldn't laugh, sir. You know what they say about beluga whales? You never know when they're gonna strike.
That's not true.
It might be. So anyway, eventually Nakia comes and rescues them and they head back to Wakanda.
Nice.
But then Namor and his people are gonna attack and they've got water, they've got fish, they've got really good singers that'll make you kill yourself.
What?
And Namor has tiny little wings on his feet.
Aww.
And then he drowns the queen.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and then he tells Shuri, all right, I'm gonna give you guys some time to regroup, okay? Does a week sound good? I'm gonna head out for a week or so.
Why would he do that?
So they have time to prepare for the final battle of the movie.
Okay.
So then Shuri freaking figures out how to synthesize that flower and she becomes the Black Panther.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And she gives Okoye a weird Power Ranger suit, and they make Riri a suit.
Is everybody just kind of getting suits now?
That's right, sir. Several people are kind of Iron Man now.
Wow, and how did they get all that done in such a short amount of time?
Montage.
Gotcha.
So now it's time for the big final battle, and they've figured out their plan of attack.
What's their plan?
They're gonna head out to the ocean and fight the ocean guy and his people there.
Isn't that the enemy's home turf?
Yes.
Isn't that where the enemy will have the biggest advantage?
Oh, absolutely.
That doesn't seem like the best plan.
Well, that's the one they're going with. Also, they realize if they dry Namor, they can weaken him a bit.
But what, are they gonna attack him with a blow dryer?
No, that'd be ridiculous.
All right.
It's more of like a space heater type thing.
Oh, okay.
So the Wakandans head to the ocean for this fight and, you know, really get their butts kicked.
Yeah, because that's where the enemy's at their strongest.
For sure. But Shuri's gonna manage to dry Namor off a little bit and get him on land, so they're gonna fight while he's weakened.
Oh, great.
But then she gets badly impaled, you know, right through her.
Oh my God, well, it's gonna be impossible for her to beat this guy with that kind of injury.
Actually, it's gonna be super crazy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because see, check this out. What she does is she's fine immediately.
Oh.
Yeah, all good right away, so.
But what about the severe impaling wound?
Hey, shut up. So then she's about to kill this guy, but then she's like, hey, what about an alliance? And he's like, oh, yeah, okay, sure, an alliance.
And she trusts the word of this guy who just killed her mom and made that promise under the threat of death?
Yes.
Well, great.
And so, yeah, then we find out that the Black Panther had a kitten and we're done.
What?
So what do you think?
Well, it sounds like a great movie and a nice tribute to Chadwick Boseman.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is gonna fit right in with all the other fantastic movies we'll be releasing in 2022.
Oh yeah, people are gonna love them all, sir.
Hi everybody, it's Ryan George here. Thanks for watching that pitch meeting. I hope you enjoyed it. If you want to see more of these videos, I don't know how to help you. I don't know how you could possibly find more. And if you have any suggestions for movies or TV shows you'd like to see me do pitch meetings for, I don't know what you could do about that. There's no way to do anything at all. So, sorry.